Welcome back, everybody, to Parenting Unplugged. This is Elisa.
Welcome. This is
And
Monica.
we're so glad to have you guys back on with us today. On our previous episode, we did discuss finding out that we were pregnant and what that moment was like. And in today's episode, we plan on talking about what our pregnancy was and our trimesters and what that experience was like.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to delve into like what is pregnancy like itself, going into all the different pros and challenges of what we personally faced. But also we want to, try and connect to the wider audience, because every pregnancy is just so different. So we can give our insight, but of course there are just too many different situations. So we want to kind of delve into to our side of things, and see what you guys think.
It can change from one person to the next. Like it can be, one person can have the worst experience and feel absolutely ill the entire time, and the next person could be like, "Well, I felt great." How is that possible? It's so odd how that happens when you're pregnant, and of course, like even like delivering the baby, it's a like a case by case scenario. So how did you feel, Monica, when you were pregnant? What was that like for you?
I mean, in the obviously in the previous episode, we kind of talked about like, like how we felt about finding out we were pregnant. And I think after the beginning, kind of the anxious energies had kind of subsided. I mean, I was really excited. Again, it was a planned pregnancy. It was something me and my husband wanted to do. We were ready to have a child. And I think the first kind of few months, you kind of feel like you're in disbelief. You kind of had that feeling like, okay, I've got the proof that I'm pregnant, but I can't really. The only telltale sign for me is that I did have a lot of nausea to begin with. I had a lot of nausea, and again, like you said, like some people have no nausea, some people are like completely fine, and there's some people that are just like constantly throwing up. And I would say I was sort of in the middle. There was a lot of foods I went off, like I couldn't even smell them. It was
Oh
like
my God.
repulsive to me. I know, it was crazy.
Was it
And
just
there
day and
was
night? Was it like any time of the day you were nauseous?
I think I was starting to, like feel a bit different. And I think once I had, obviously I did like a million tests, as you did, to like just to confirm for like the 10th time that you're pregnant. But then I think after I got like the official blood test, like my blood work came through, I was like, okay. And I think maybe something like energetically changed in me. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, that doesn't smell right. Oh, that makes me feel sick. And it is something changed, I don't know whether it was just like mentally or subconsciously something was happening. And I worked in a school, so obviously I was around a lot of children. I was around my students, the cafeteria. So yeah, it was an experience, I would
Oh
say
boy.
that.
Oh boy. And the nausea, was that for like the first trimester, or did you carry on with that throughout the remaining pregnancy?
A lot of people say that the second trimester is like the golden time. It's like the time where you're going to feel your absolute best. And they also say that having boys and girls makes you feel differently. Obviously, I cannot say on that because I've got a boy and I know you've got a girl, but everyone has different experiences, right? I would say my first trimester, I definitely felt the nausea a lot more. Like, it was really, really bad. I couldn't even, I remember this, it's just come to my head. I couldn't even drink water,
Oh
like
my
normal standard water. It
God.
got to the
Just
point where I was worried.
water.
I know, but I was so worried. And I was saying to my husband, like, I can't even drink water. Like, it repulsed me. And I had to start drinking sparkling water. Like, that's how bad it
And
was.
did that help you? Did it help
It
drinking the
did
spark?
help a little bit. But obviously, you don't down as much sparkling water as you would normal water. So that was like a little bit of a worry. But definitely the first trimester for me was the hardest for the nausea. Second trimester was a dream. Like I felt amazing. We did like a baby moon in the Caribbean and it was like amazing. Like I had, such a
Perfect.
good time.
You're probably just thinking during that time, like, I think that, I could be pregnant forever, when
Yeah,
you feel
because you
that
have your
good.
little bump there, they start kicking and you have that big connection.
The flutters.
And then, exactly, yeah. And then you get to the third trimester. And let me tell you, the last bit of my pregnancy was hard.
Oh my
Like,
God.
it was so hard. Like, and I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, and I'm sure other mamas out there that are listening have, but towards the end, especially in my third trimester, I started getting severe leg cramps that I found out was, I think they call it a Charlie horse.
Yeah, I was having those too at the
Oh my
end.
God, they are the worst.
It was
They are
terrible.
so bad.
No, it was
I
so
used
bad.
to wake up like multiple times in the night screaming. My husband was like, eventually get used to it. And it was awful. And I just remember thinking, I just cannot deal with this for much longer.
Oh
And
my God.
yeah, that was tough near the end because I had quite a big bump. I was huge, actually, I'm not gonna lie. Like I was big. And the weight of it and everything else, it takes its toll during the end for sure.
Yeah, I know. And then especially towards the end of like your pregnancy, the comments, "Oh, you're so big.
Oh my
Oh,
God, don't get me started.
you're ready to pop? Are you ready to pop?" And you're like, "Well, yeah, I am. I'm 8 months pregnant. What do you expect? I'm 7 months." Like
Exactly. I think we could do like a whole episode on just like how to deal with the general public.
Yes, the social, the
Yeah.
pressure of like the comments, and it's just like obviously your hormones are all over the place, and the last thing you want to hear
Exactly.
is that you're big.
Yeah.
Like,
Or it
of
could
course
be
I'm
the
big.
opposite,
Oh,
like they could be like,
you're not showing,
oh, you're
right?
not showing, like you're
Well,
so small. Is the baby okay? And
that's just I have maybe you have a small frame, and maybe
exactly. Like it's just everything is a war zone at that point
Oh,
because
yeah.
you don't know where anything could set you off,
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Anything can set you off. Your emotions are just all over the place, and
It's
you just want to hear
crazy.
like positivity and not like any
Exactly.
like comments or like people like criticizing.
Yeah, I
Yeah, it's
mean,
so funny.
before we get into kind of like that side of things, what's your story with your pregnancy? How did it go?
Yeah, I have to say I'm one of the lucky few. Because I had a very good pregnancy, and Camila was
Oh, God bless
really
you.
good to me. Camila
That's
was
amazing.
really she was really good to me. I have to say, like from the beginning, I did have a couple of things, like a couple of like hiccups where I wasn't feeling that great. So like in the beginning, I think I felt like nauseous once, which is insane.
Just
Which
one
I
time?
think I
Oh
heard you.
my
And I never
gosh.
vomited. I think I went to the toilet once and I was about to
That's
vomit. And it was really
insane.
early on. It was like early, it was like around the time that I found out I was pregnant. So I was like, oh no, is this gonna get worse? And it never did. And I just kind of like was pretty much chilling during my pregnancy until I did start getting some like acid reflux. So like it's when you have like all of like that gas
I had a little bit
feeling.
of that, yeah.
I had that a lot, and especially when I would eat like more junky food, like if I would try to have like a greasy burger or something like that, I would like automatically feel it like right after. So yeah, I just kind of like I started understanding what my body was doing, and I stopped doing the things that it didn't really like, So like
Did you have
that
any like addictions? Like a
in
food that
general.
you just like
Oh, during my pregnancy.
during your pregnancy where you were like, I need that.
You know what's funny? I really didn't have any cravings. It was just I didn't. I think like I went through a moment when I was at that time I was working like a it was like a more stricter kind of office job. So I would like with like my afternoon tea, I would have like a cookie, like a sweet cookie, just because like I had like a little sweet craving. But yeah, I don't know. Did you have any cravings?
Oh my God. Well, this is something that I don't think my husband will ever forget because I used to send him out at all hours of the night and days. I had to get myself some frozen yogurt. There was like a, There was like, what do they call it, sweet frog in the
Yes.
Dominican Republic in the DR, right? And they had a few, and there's like there's a few different stores that do frozen yogurt. It's very big out there. And I just fell in love with frozen yogurt. Like,
You
not
just had
ice
to have
cream. I didn't want
it.
ice cream. I had to have frozen yogurt.
Oh my
And
God. Yeah.
even if it was like 2 in the morning, I'd
Yes.
be like, I look at him and he'll be like, where do I need to go? And I'm
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
yeah, you need to get some frozen yogurt for
Oh,
me.
yeah. I mean, honestly, whatever it takes, whatever it takes,
Yeah.
like to keep mom happy and baby happy, then it's gotta happen, you know?
Yeah,
But
no, for
like,
sure.
but yeah, I did. I had the Charlie horses that you had too. And during that, I spoke to my midwife and she was like, just start going on a lot of walks. So I did. I started walking a lot. And that for me, walking while I was pregnant was incredible because it helped ease all of the pain. But then also, like, it gives you time to kind of like unplug and just like connect with your body. And I felt during my walks, I felt like a closer connection with my baby, with Camila. I started kind of like feeling her out and I would kind of talk to her while I was walking. And it was the perfect weather here because Camila was born in November. So it was like, it wasn't like extremely hot. It was like this like crisp kind of fall weather. So it was really nice. So the walks really like, and I would recommend this to anyone that's pregnant, like try to go on as many walks as possible. Just to like overall health, obviously it's really good, but then it just kind of you get to unplug and think about something else, you know, think about like the deeper connection that you can experience with your baby and stuff. But like one thing I did want to touch on is so like right before I was like close to the 40 weeks. I think I was at about like 30 weeks. I was trying to have a natural delivery. So Camila wasn't she wasn't breached and she wasn't like turning. She was still like head up and she needed to be head down, you know, for the delivery. So you know, I was connecting with my midwife over it and you know, every time we went, we would check and she would tell me like, okay, you're still not breached, but I mean the baby is breached. So one thing that she started talking to me about was this procedure called the ECV, which is where they where the doctors will literally push the baby into position, into like head down position. So I started doing some research about it. But in the meantime, I was connecting with some like midwives here in New York and taking some birthing classes, and they were giving me like exercises so I could flip the baby naturally, which is like the exercises are literally like it's like doing like a headstand. And like, you know, doing all of these like sorts of crazy things that like demo would help me do. But man, we tried everything and we did the workouts like every day and nothing. So we ended up having to do this procedure, the ECV procedure. And I was at like 30 something weeks. It was, I think I want to say like 32 weeks or something. And I went in really not thinking that it was like going to hurt. Like I did research and I'm like, I think it's going to be okay. They asked me if I wanted to go under anesthesia, and I was like, no, I think I'm gonna handle it. I don't wanna go under anesthesia because then you're there longer. So I was like, it's okay, I'm gonna do this. And I went by myself because Demo had just started a new job around that time. So I'm like, it's okay, I'll go, it'll be in and out. So they start doing this procedure, and it was extremely painful.
I can imagine.
Extremely, like they were. Two doctors were pushing, like applying pressure to my belly so the baby could flip. So they were only able to push a certain amount of times because they had like they were monitoring the baby's heartbeat. So on the third time, which is how many times they could push, that is when Camila flipped. And she flipped at the very last second. She did the flip at the very last second when they were like about to stop. She finally flipped and I cried with joy. It was incredible. I was so happy that she did it. But after that, I felt like I was ready for labor. I'm like, okay, I can do this. Like, we can have this baby now, you know? But I think, like, out of everything, I didn't have like my experience when I was pregnant. I think I had an overall really, really positive experience. But I think that it was just like that day, that moment that I had to get that procedure done.
That
It
sounds
was
a
like,
lot. I was
it was
gonna
a
that
lot.
when you were saying, do you want that, when they were asking you, do you want to go on to like under local anesthesia? I'm thinking that means it's gonna be a pretty painful
This
experience.
is true. Yes. But then
Because I was
my,
actually gonna,
yeah.
I was gonna say, like, you were saying that Camila was head up, right? And she
Yes.
was obviously meant to be head down. And
Yes.
even though in my pregnancy, Noah was head down, so
Yeah.
that was obviously one good thing.
Yeah.
He was actually facing head up as well. But I didn't get offered that procedure. I basically, when I went into labor, all of my contractions were in my back. They call it like a back-to-back labor. And
Okay.
I mean, obviously we can touch more on this on our labor
Wow.
episode
Yeah.
coming up next time. But let me tell you, back-to-back is excruciating
Oh my
pain.
God.
It is. And I didn't have any anesthesia. I didn't have an epidural or anything. But I can imagine how painful that procedure must have been for you, because back to back, when they're head up, is it's a lot. Like that's and because that's not the
Yes.
natural way they're meant to be, are they? They're meant to be head
Right.
down.
Right. She, yeah, they're supposed to be head down, like ready for delivery. And yeah, she was just, I think ever since she was in the belly, she was stubborn because I actually delivered her on my side, and we'll talk about that later too. But I delivered her on my side. Like I was like, yes. So I'm like, so she's always been kind of like a stubborn baby. But yeah, I did that, and that's what I want to say is like really, was like the worst part of my pregnancy, having to get that done. But I'm glad that I did, and I'm glad that, it ended up, she was okay, and everything, and it pretty much prepped me for labor after that. I'm like, if I can take that pain, like I feel like that kind of like pushed things along, and I was able to. Camila came like very quickly after that. I delivered her like 4 days before her due date. So,
Oh, amazing.
yeah. So after that, I think it was just like I really started feeling her, like in my lower abdomen. All of a sudden, like that lower abdomen pain really started kicking in, and I was just like, okay, this
Oh,
baby,
that's
like
hard,
you need to,
that
yeah, you need to, like it's got, we
Yeah.
gotta go, we gotta get this moving, after that
Yeah.
happened. So,
I felt
yeah.
that because I delivered Noah 2.5 weeks before my due date, because my water broke quite early. And obviously when your waters break, you've gotta you, it's go time, like they're just waiting for you to start labor. But I remember feeling him really low, really,
Yes.
really low. And that weight that you feel, like
Oh.
even doing like a 10-minute walk, and
Oh yeah.
oh my God,
Oh no.
I can remember that feeling.
Now
And I
I
remember,
understand why women are wobbling, because like literally it's just like you're carrying like a head of a baby in between your legs, just like pushing there.
Like it's a big weight as well.
Yeah. Oof.
It's a lot. So like let's I mean, before we go, I wanted to touch on something that maybe we don't really think about that often, but like feelings from the dad, like feelings from the father. Did
Yeah.
tell me about how Demo felt, like as leading up to or any of the pregnancy really, like
Yeah.
how was he feeling throughout the whole thing?
I think for him, it was more of a financial burden. Not a burden itself. It was more about like the financial part. It was more about like, okay, how are we going to get our finances ready? He actually, in the beginning of my pregnancy, was not working. So that kind of, I feel like it took a mental toll on him, because he just, he was like, okay, I'm gonna have a baby. We need to get this figured out. So he did end up like finding a job and everything. But like, I feel that, that it for him, it was more about like, okay, how are we gonna set ourselves up so that, she is good in the future. And I think that was mostly what he was thinking about day and night. Like I saw him, but like with his like spreadsheets, like thinking about like, okay, this is what we're gonna do. This is how we're gonna figure this
Sounds like
out.
George.
Exactly. They're both in the finance world, so they're both like very analytical thinkers. So yeah. So that was mostly his concern, and I think he was really, really supportive when it comes to like anything that I needed, and like any updates for like as far as like pregnancy wise, like we would like read up on them together, and he really wanted to know and be as
That's
involved as
amazing.
possible, because like they're obviously they're not carrying the baby, so it's like, you know, if they're, since they're not carrying the baby, it's like they're just trying their best to be there and be present as much as they can in other ways. But yeah, I think for him it was definitely more about like that figure about like, you know, taking care of the house and, you know, how are we going to figure it out after baby comes. So
Absolutely.
what was it like for you, guys and George?
I mean, you know George, George and Demo are our best friends. They are both accountants by trade as well, so they love numbers. They love number crunching, they love spreadsheets. And I mean, I would say that George kind of he did also feel, the need to kind of level up on, okay, how are we going to be more financially secure in the future? What steps are we doing to ensure that this happens? Like reevaluating our savings and everything like that, like going over everything. But I would say the pregnancy, I think it did make us look, well, for him, I know I'm asking about the partner. For my husband, I think he kind of was thinking about the future, like, okay, because we were in the Dominican Republic when I was pregnant. And we were thinking a lot about the time, like, okay, is it ideal to raise a family in the Dominican Republic, or should we go back to the UK and raise a family? That was the big question, and I think when I knew, when I was pregnant, we really had to go through the hard work and figure out what the plan was going to be for us, and we decided to come back to the UK and give it a go, which is where we are now. So I think in combination with the finances, and he's very good with the finances, I think for him and for us combined, I think it was also kind of like it ignited the process of deciding where we're going to be, what's going to be the best situation, not for us, what's going to be the best situation for Noah, what's going to be the best situation for future jobs, opportunities, schools, education. You just go down a whirlwind,
You definitely have to look at things from a more like wider perspective once the baby comes. It's like, okay, well, where am I going to raise him, and where the schools, and what's the environment going to be like? I absolutely agree. I think, you know, Demo also went through that as well. We started thinking about like, you know, where else are we going to go, and, you know, do we want to raise Gami in New York for the rest of our lives? Or do we want to eventually move? And yeah, I feel like for most families, that's when they kind of get up and go as well. They kind of, they're like, okay, we realize that maybe it's not where you are now is not going to work to raise a family, for XYZ reasons. But that is a, it's a big life-changing moment. It's
Oh,
a
huge,
huge,
yeah.
huge life-changing moment, and there's so much behind it that, like, obviously you think about like your, you know, the opportunities for you as well. So like, I think, and I've always kind of said this, like, I think that having that, like, when you go through that moment having a baby, the decisions that you make along the way through your pregnancy, yes, I think absolutely it is for the baby, for like, you know, for like the future of the baby. But at the end of the day, I think that at the core, you need to be happy as well. So, because if you're not happy, the baby's not, it's going to be a direct reflection on the baby. So,
And you
like, you
figure that
know,
out as you go along,
oh, you do.
like
Oh, you do.
you may make just life decisions, but then you may realize, actually, no, I think we need to go in this direction instead now, and you need to figure out what's going to make you and your partner happy, because like you said, like you and your partner need to be happy at the core, because that energy is going to radiate to your children and they're going to pick up on that straight away,
For
like
sure.
from the minute you well from the time they're in the womb, really. They're going to pick
For
up
sure.
on all the energy, right, from the mum.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I when it comes to like the parents that like I think that, you know, keeping the baby in mind is always like, obviously you want to do that. But I think that where most families miss is going back to like the head figures in the house, going back to like mom and dad, and like, okay, mom and dad, like, are we okay? You know, do we like where
Exactly.
we are? And yes, if you are happy at the core, or if you are, in a good situation, that will radiate onto your kids, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I feel like that's something that like most families don't think about. They just think about, okay, they have good schools over there. Let's do that. But what about you? You know, are you guys, you know? So yeah, I do love to talk about that. And I think that at the core, we are number one, like the parents. We
Yeah.
kind of, I think that we still do come first. We still need to make sure that we're happy too. So
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. It's such a huge topic, and it'll be interesting to kind of go into these areas a little bit down the line in future episodes. But it is so important, and that's why I wanted to address like the feelings of the partner, right? Because we put obviously for the mum, it's a mind blowing, like having a baby. But then, our partners are there too. Like they're right. Well, in everyone's different. Everyone has different circumstances. But talking about our situations, our partners are there. Their feelings are valid as much as ours. So we got to give them a shout out too, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they go through so many changes as well, and like
Absolutely, yeah.
everyone takes it differently. So obviously they're going from being like a single, a single person to having like a little somebody to take care of. Like they can no longer just sit in their man cave all day. Like, we need to have like a proper setup in the house now. And Sunday football, like here, in America is like football on Sundays. Like it might not be as quiet anymore. You might not even be watching football anymore on Sundays. Okay. Like, so, but there's other things that you'll be doing instead that are just
Yeah,
as fun. And eventually that
absolutely.
time will come around as well. Like you'll have that time back again. So,
Yeah.
yeah, but this was so much fun. I love talking about pregnancy. I think, through the ups and downs, I think that we both kind of feel the same way, that we felt really empowered and, just like, strong, and just, we loved carrying our babies. We loved having our babies, carrying our babies for those 9 months. I think that, overall, it's just that really great mama feeling, that mama bear feeling that was
Oh
so good.
yeah, and it'll be interesting down the line to compare stories. For example, if we had a second child and things like that, I'm sure having a second pregnancy would be so different from having the first pregnancy because you've got a toddler running around.
Absolutely. And even so, like, let's say if we have like a mom that's listening that has multiple kids, like, they go through their experiences are different. So every pregnancy is different. And I feel like you kind of need to also honor that time, just because it's a second pregnancy doesn't mean it's any less than, less important than your first. I think that it's still, you're still carrying a child, and your reason is now larger than it was before. So, I think still honor that time, and still take that time for yourself, and indulge in what you want to do, and listen to your body, and just those 9 months will fly. So still, so still live it, and still like really try to enjoy it as much as you can, even if you have a small one, any other kids, and it could be your second or your third.
Yeah, exactly. And I think bottom line is that we just need to feel how incredible we are to birth a human being. That's
We
just
are
insane.
incredible. We are incredible humans for sure. And
Yeah, but I mean to, I absolutely loved this episode today. I think we could do multiple sessions on this, on pregnancy. But yeah, I mean let's stay tuned. Let's see what the next episode holds. We are going to be talking more about going into labor.
Yes, that'll be fun.
Kind of like the what we face, and that's probably that's going to be a juicy one because everyone has so many different stories for their labor stories. But yeah, we can't wait to get into that, into the next
Cannot wait.
episode. And stay tuned, and we've loved having you here today.
Yeah, please stay tuned, everybody. Make sure that you share, that you like our podcast.
Absolutely.
And please tell everyone about it, anyone that might be interested. Any feedback that you have as well, please make sure to send that along and comment on our podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much. It was
Thank
great
you for
having you.
joining. See you
All
next
right.
time.